We're going to have to hear that one again.
Yes.
Miss Gay, I tell you.
Yes.
I heard them practicing it in here, and I was about to go out of town, and I thought, and this is a little selfish, I thought, I hope they don't sing that while I'm gone, because I want to hear it.
Yes.
I love being in the house of God. I love being around God's people. You know, they sing the song, everybody's going through something, and everybody is. Sometimes the events and the troubles and the challenges of our life are worse than others. If you're not going through something, get ready, you will.
Oh, yeah.
I got a card here that I want to read. This is from the Fricky family. It says, on behalf of our family, we would like to thank you all for your calls, your cards, your messages, and especially your prayers for our mom, Elda, and family. We would also like to express our appreciation for the meal you provided to us. Our church family is exactly what you are, and that is family. You showed out. We have learned that your love is unconditional, and that has meant a lot. Words will never express how much you mean to us. Love, Rodney, Naomi, Alexander, and Aaron, Fricky, and our family. And you know, when I read that card, I appreciate the card. That's what church is. We're saved by the grace of God. We're family. You know, sometimes we run into people that we've never known, never met on this line, in this side. But because of the connection that they know the Lord, you meet them in just a few minutes. They're family. You know, we want to be that way in the house of God because we all do have things that we're going to have to face, that we are facing. What I've got on my heart this morning that I want to share with you and try to bring the message is, the danger of discouragement. You know, sometimes Christian people, they go through things. Doesn't make us immune. I got saved when I was 12 years old because the preacher preached and the Holy Spirit said, he's talking to you. Never not been in church, but I can remember when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and let me know that I was the one that the preacher was preaching to and that I needed to be saved. But I can also remember a little time after that being in church and I heard the preacher preaching. And he was preaching about Job, and he made this statement. He said, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that everything's going to go right in your life all the time. That you're going to get everything that you want, and you're not going to have troubles. And I sat there as just a young man, and it kind of shocked me. You know, I had the mindset, the false mindset that some people have. Well, if you decide you're going to serve God, then everything's going to be right all the time. But that's just not true. You know, sometimes what God does is he doesn't take out of us out of the storm or out of the trouble, but he comes to us in the middle of the trouble that we're in.
Right.
And what we ought to do as Christians, whether and it's difficult sometimes to be in that place, but to look for God and allow God to be God, because we cannot. I cannot tell you that you will always have the answers, that you're always going to understand. But I can tell you, if you're saved by the grace of God, based on what I believe, that he won't ever leave you. He won't forsake you, and wherever you are, he's going to be with you. If you got your Bible, let's turn to Psalm chapter number 42, when we want to read the 42nd Psalm. And then from there, we want to go over to look at the book of Genesis, and we want to look at and talk about, as it relates to this message, the life of Joseph. But let's look at the 42nd Psalm. This is a psalm that is an intense longing for God. It says, as the hart, or the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, and with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept the holy day or the feast day. And why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Wherefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and from the Hermonites, from the hill of Mizar? Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts, and all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, in my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now I want to stop here for just a minute. We're going to go over to the writings in Genesis and look at some things. But you know, just being because you're a Christian doesn't mean you'll never have a day that you don't want to curl up in a bed and not get up. You know, sometimes I've heard people, they talk about depression and it's mockery to them. And I'll tell you why it's mockery to them, because they've never been in it. You know, one thing, if you ever really study it and understand this, and this is true about preachers, and I'll just give y'all a little bit of insight. You know what the worst day of the week is for a preacher? It's Monday. It's because on Sunday he comes in, it's the highlight of the week for him. He's excited, he's going to preach the word of God, he's around God's people. But on Monday, he's a target. Monday is the worst day of the week for a preacher. You know, if you just take that into consideration, remember the story of Elijah when he was over there on Mount Carmel and he had battled with all of the prophets of Baal. And he was there and there were 400 prophets of Baal and all the prophets of the false gods. And they were crying unto their God, and he mocked them. And he said, perhaps your God's asleep. He knew who he served. He said, bring the water pots and pour them over the altar. And the God that answers by fire, he's going to be God. And he was there and he prayed. And the God of heaven opened the windows of heaven. And fire came down and it fell upon the altar. And it licked up the water that was in the trench around the altar. And the people began to cry out to God. And they said, the Lord, he is God. Amen. And the very next day, what happened? There was word that came to him from one wicked queen that said, tomorrow you're going to be as dead as those prophets. And rather than saying, no, I know whom I've believed, I serve the God of heaven, what did he do? He ran off into the wilderness, and he fell down under a juniper tree, and he cried unto himself, and he said, oh, that I might just die. Now, I want to tell you something. This is one of the most powerful prophets of the Old Testament. If it happened to him, it can happen to you. And no doubt this morning, I'll tell you something. Sometimes I have difficult weeks. Sometimes I have to cry out to God. And I say, God, I know who you are, but I want you to give me strength. You know why? Because we live in a shell of flesh. And sometimes we deal with things in the flesh that is in the contrast to the spirit. And we're trying to find the will and the servants of God. But where are we at? We're in a world that's fallen. And we have an enemy that is against us. And there is a danger, even in the life of a Christian. And I'm not talking about a new believer. I'm talking about a person that's seasoned and been walking for God for a long period of time. That yes, you can get depressed. You can get discouraged. You can get down. You can get troubled. And what you need is for God to come along and lift you up. You know, if we'd get a little bit more real about where we're at, we may be able to help somebody. But there's too much hyper-spirituality to where if we're honest and we tell the truth, we're worried about what somebody's going to judge us. If they judge you, they should be in the altar before you ever get there asking God to help you. Now, if we go a little farther in that story, what did God do for Elijah? He didn't come along with a stick and slap him and say, get up. You know better than this. Look what I just did yesterday in your life. But he sent an angel. And he tapped him. And he brought bread to him. And he said, rise and eat. And he gave him something to drink. You know, he didn't jump up immediately and take off running and preaching again. You know what he did? He laid back down. And he curled back up. And God sent the angel again. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit today. speaking to you, comforting you, helping you. And sometimes what you might be is the one that God sends to somebody else to help them. It's just like when Sister Martha gave the presentation this morning and she walked and those people were following her. Their kids were touching her. Why were those two women walking and touching you? Because in their sight, you were the angel that God sent to help them. Do you know you might be able to do something in somebody's life if you would look to where God's at? And first let him help you so that he can help others.
Yeah.
Over in the book of Genesis, beginning in the 37th chapter, we find the story of Joseph. This is one of the 12 tribes or the 12 sons of Jacob. This is the second, if I understand it correctly, the second youngest son. God had a great plan for Joseph's life. But when this story begins and you look at it and you see what's happening to him, and sometimes this is the way it is in our life, we go through things because God is preparing us for the morrow because he can see it and we cannot. And here's Joseph, and he begins to dream dreams because what's happening is God is beginning to show him the things that are out there for him, but he wasn't able to understand it or spiritual enough at the time to see what God was doing. But the scripture says when he gave these dreams to his dad and his brethren, the brothers were jealous, but the Bible says his father took notice. His father loved him so much that he had made him a coat of many colors. And he put it on his son, and he sent his young son out to his elder brothers to check on them. And when the brothers saw him coming afar off, they saw him, and they mocked him, and they were angry with him. You know, sometimes God might choose somebody to bless, and when he does it, you're not God. You might as well get on the boat. The best thing they could have done is says, God's got a plan for him. Let's help him. But when they saw him coming, they said, let's kill him. Let's kill this dreamer. But Reuben, he said, no. They took him, they put him down in a pit, they slayed a goat or a lamb, and they put the blood on that coat to return to their father. They put him down in this pit because he had told them these dreams, and they were against him, and they hated him because the father loved him. And they drew him up out of this pit, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites. They took him down to Egypt, away from his homeland, and they sold him as a slave unto the house of Potiphar. But truly, God had a plan for Joseph, and if you know the story, the Bible teaches that everything that Joseph touched, God blessed it. And I just want to say something right there. I had much rather have the blessing and the hand of God on what I'm doing than to ever be able to rely on my own ability. Everything that Joseph did, God blessed it. He was in the house of Potiphar. God blessed the house of Potiphar so much that Potiphar turned everything over to Joseph. And Joseph is at this time, the best I could understand it, just a 17-year-old boy. Young people, God can use you. And here he is in the house of Potiphar, and no doubt he was handsome, no doubt he was intelligent, no doubt God had blessed him. And Potiphar's wife looked at him, and she began to pursue him daily, day after day after day, to the extent that finally he ran away from her. And can I just say this, when the devil's after you, I want to say this to the oldest, to the youngest, sometimes you need to know when to run. And I'm not talking about standing there and act hyper spiritual and say, it'll never happen to me. I'm talking about run.
Yes. Amen.
Joseph ran. And what happened to Joseph? Joseph was lied about. He was cast into prison. And even in prison, he was there, and God began to bless him so much that he was put in charge by the guards. People were having dreams, and God gave Joseph discernment, and they came to Joseph, the butler and the baker, and Joseph interpreted their dream, and he asked them, he said, when you go before Pharaoh, will you remember me? Will you mention my name? You know, they got up there, and of course, one of them was restored, and The butler was restored. The baker, he lost his life, just as Joseph interpreted. But you know what happened? They forgot. Two more years he sat in prison. Now here's why I said that story. And if you know that story, I love the story of Joseph. Two of my favorite Bible characters is Joseph and Daniel. Have you ever thought about who in the Bible you would want to be like? I've often thought Joseph and Daniel. Sometimes I really think about Joseph because God blessed him. And I was thinking on that one day, and I was talking to the Lord, and I was thinking about Joseph, and I was saying, Lord, I'd really like to be like Joseph. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? And sometimes I don't like what the Holy Spirit says. He said, why are you spending all your time trying to be like Potiphar? Think about that. Well, here's Joseph. Joseph had a reason to be discouraged. God had a plan for him. He didn't have anything against his brothers, but they threw him in a pit. His family was against him. You ever tried to serve God and you're doing what you're supposed to do and you don't know why in the world? Everybody around you is not excited about it. Sometimes not just the people you used to think were your friends, but sometimes even your own family doesn't want you at the family get-togethers because you're a holy roller now. Well, here's Joseph. They threw him in a pit. Then he was sold into slavery. He gets down there, and how does Joseph get rewarded for retaining his integrity and trying to serve God? He tried to serve God and do the right thing. And what did it get him? It got him thrown into prison. He gets into prison, and here he's even trying to do the right thing and be a good steward, and he's helping other people. And what does that get him? He's forgotten about. You know, when I look at characters in the Bible and I see people who would be discouraged, Joseph should be discouraged. You know, it's when you try to do the right thing and rather than being rewarded and thinking, well, if I do the right thing, everything's just going to go right. Maybe not. Didn't go right for Joseph. See, Joseph is an example of someone who might face discouragement. It's disappointment. What's disappointment? It's when things have not turned out the way that you would have liked. Or things are more difficult than you thought they might be. Or maybe even your expectations are not or have not been met. And it could be this: people have let you down. Doesn't it hurt when you try to love people and care for them and you give to them and you spend time with them and you try to reach out to them just to turn around and have them turn on you? To have them do you wrong, to have them turn their back on you, to hear the things that maybe they've said about you when you thought that they cared for you. You ever had anybody say something about you that hurt and you wonder why? Why would they say that about me? I've not done anything against them. And you might even say this. I remember one time a man said something about me, and I just kind of looked at him, and I thought, I like you. I guess he hated me, and I thought, why? It's discouraging. See, discouragement is losing motivation or desire for something that brings us fulfillment in life. And I've said this before. I've said it in the churchyard, standing around with some of the men. I've said it in Sunday school. If you ever get to the point in your life that the things that you used to enjoy don't interest you anymore, it's kind of like if you're the kind of person like me and Brother Allen, and we like fishing, and all of a sudden, brother, you get down, and the things that are important to you, they just don't matter anymore. Maybe you're one of those kind of people that you just like, and it's okay to be this way, ladies. Now, men, I know y'all not going to like what I'm about to say. But some of you ladies just like to shop. And I say, honey, you shop all you want, just don't spend. But you ever get down and you just don't want to get up? You don't want to go fishing anymore. You don't want to go shopping anymore. You don't want to play golf anymore. And God forbid this is true, I don't even want to go see my grandkids anymore. You're in danger. You see, discouragement is losing motivation and a desire for something that once brought fulfillment. It is an emotional or a spiritual response to some failed expectation or desire. You see, discouragement comes from not resolving your disappointments. The truth is, disappointments in life are inevitable, but discouragement is a choice. You see, I've been disappointed before. I've been passed over for a promotion. Maybe you have too. I've been disappointed in life because there have been relationships in my life that were broken that at the time, I didn't really see beyond it. I didn't know how I was going to get past it. And I heard somebody say this recently, and I want us to be very careful to remember the things that we've come through, especially young people. They said this, they said, puppy love is real if you are a puppy. You see, we've all faced disappointments, but how are we going to deal with our discouragements? It makes us ask questions like this. Why can't I get ahead no matter what I do? I can't seem to make things work. You know, when we read about Joseph, we see him in the cell and we see him praying and we see him serving God. But don't you know there might have been some dark nights when he laid there and he might have asked that question? God, where are you? Where are you, God? You gave me these visions. I had these dreams. I know who you are. I remember who you are. I brought you with me from my homeland to this foreign land. I'm here. I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to maintain. But God, where is it getting me? Why? Because we want God to move right now. And God doesn't move on my clock or your clock. Sometimes you even get to the point and you can say, how can a person that knows God, that walks with God, doubt him? What about John the Baptist? John the Baptist was there. He was in prison because he preached against the sin that was in the life of the king. And he was ultimately going to lose his life because of it. And while he was there in the prison, he sent his disciples. He said, go to Jesus and ask him if he is the one, or should we look for another? Now, this is the one that was there when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came and lit upon him like a dove. The voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. John the Baptist. Jesus didn't. Same thing with Elijah. He didn't say, you go tell him to remember what he saw. But he didn't. He said, you go tell him that the lame walk. You tell him that the deaf hear. You tell him the blind have received their sight. You tell him that the poor have the gospel preached unto him. And then he turned to the people and he said, I'll tell you, of those that are born among women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist. About doubting Thomas. Walk with him, saw the miracles, saw the things that he did. He said, I won't believe it unless I can reach my hand in his side. Unless I can feel those nail prints in his hands. Jesus didn't show up and hit him with anything. He just said, come here, John. Come here. Come here, Thomas. Thomas didn't have to touch him because when he saw him, it's just like you and I. When Peter looked into the eyes of the Lord and he wept and he went out and he wept bitterly. We know who God is. We know who he is. We know he has the ability to encourage us. But what we have to do is deal with our disappointments and turn our eyes back to the cross and back to God. See, what causes a person to be discouraged? Sometimes it's loss. We have a ministry of Celebrate Recovery at this church, and we deal with a lot of things. You know, Celebrate Recovery, immediately people think drug addicts and alcoholics. And can I just say this, and then we'll move past that. If that drug addict was your son, you'd care. If that alcoholic was your husband, you'd care. But let's move past that. What about people that are suffering loss? What about the lady that's lost her son unexpectedly? Yeah. What about the woman that's lived with a man all her life and loved him and he cared for her, and all of a sudden, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What about the person who's suffering, dealing with grief, and they don't know how to get over it? Are you going to help them? Are we going to help them? What about the person that's dealing with anger? You say, well, they just need to repent. Well, maybe they have. Don't make them mad. Just because you don't have a problem with it doesn't mean that somebody else does. What about this? And this is something that troubles me, but I see it all the time. What about a woman that's lived with a man 25 or 30 years, and she's loved him, and she's cooked his food, she's made his lunch, she's washed his clothes, she's birthed his children, and they come into the world, and she's took care of him. And all of a sudden, one day, he comes home, and he says, I don't want you anymore. I got me a newer model. That hurts. You know why? Because rather than having a career, rather than preparing to take care of herself and her future, she's took care of him so he can have one. And where are they going to go that people will love them? You know, there are people, and I've heard this story, they go down the street and they try to go back to the place that they were home. And I've heard people actually say this, you made your bed, you go lay in it. I want to tell you something. Thank God that Jesus Christ didn't tell you and me that. He said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Who's going to help them? You see, loss. We don't understand it all. We want to understand it, and we want God to move on our behalf, but the truth is, sometimes in life, it doesn't happen that way. What about doubt? It's when you pray and you ask God to do something, and the prayer to you is not answered. Why? Because God didn't do what you wanted him to do. And when that happens, what we question is we look up to God and we say, God, do you really care? Yeah. Yes, he cares. And I've heard this and I believe this. You know, it's the times that we see God the least. It may be the time that God's doing the most. It's like the footprints in the sand. You know, I can't go home anymore, Brother Tom. Yeah, I know. Dad's gone. Mama's gone. I used to go and sit and talk with my dad, and oh, I miss this so much. He was my mentor. He was my spiritual leader. Greatest man I've ever known. I would sit and I would talk to him, and he had so much wisdom and understanding. Times I'd go and talk to my mother, and it would just be things that I couldn't talk to nobody else about. They're gone. You know, sometimes I come in from work, and I tell my wife, I say, honey, will you sit in the recliner and rock me? I'm serious. I know we can't do that. I'm a lot bigger than her. But that's the way I feel. That's the way I feel on the inside. And that's the way my heart is. And I heard a man, he was talking to me this week. He said, you know, for you and I, we age and we get older and our bodies get older. He said, but our soul's still strong. It's still alive, and it's young, and it's fresh, and it's learning. And, you know, one part of us is struggling, but the other part of us every day is getting stronger and wiser and closer to God. Yeah. Sometimes in this flesh, I get discouraged. And where I used to go to mom and dad and talk to them, you know what I do now? Sometimes I have to go to the Lord. It's just like that. Footprints in the sand. I have to believe that when I am at my lowest point, sometimes if I know who God is and I believe him, that may be when God's carrying me.
That's right. Amen.
And it may be when God is carrying you. It may have been when God was carrying Elijah. It may have been when God was carrying Joseph. It may have been that God was even spiritually carrying John the Baptist. Because they all experienced disappointments, doubts. But what about this one? And this is us. You know, let's just admit it. None of us are perfect. I want to be. I try to be. I beat myself up when I'm not. But sometimes I get discouraged because I'm disobedient. I discourage myself. I tell you, when I get down, Sin will cause spiritual pain in the life of a believer. And when we even as Christians, we might even say something like this: I cannot believe that I failed again. I cannot believe that I allowed that to overtake me again. And what the devil will whisper in your ear, and be careful that it doesn't come out of your mouth, is you say, I can't be what I want to be. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But you got to keep coming. You know, we said earlier, the altars of this church are always open. Why? Because you need to come and allow God. You don't need to come to this church to hear us sing or to hear me preach. You need to come to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, because you're living in a world that's fallen. We're living in the last days. And if we're going to get the fuel we need to make it through this world, we're going to have to get it from God. And if I'm going to be what God wants me to be, if I'm going to get over discouragement, then I've got to be able to come and lay it at the feet of Jesus. What about this? The stress of degradation. It's discouragement. You know, sometimes we counsel with young people, or even I say young people, and I said earlier, I want my wife to rock me. I'd like for my mama to rock me. I'd like to be able to talk to my daddy. Yeah. You say, well, you're an old man. You know how many people I've counseled in their 60s that are struggling with the fact that their daddy never accepted them? 60 years old, and they look at me and they say, you know, I've never felt like I measured up all my life. Why? Because my daddy told me I'd never amount to anything. I can remember him looking at me. I can remember the last time that my daddy slapped me and told me I was good for nothing. Do you know how many young ladies that Kendra and I have counseled with that doubted their salvation over and over and over, even though we would pray with them, because they said, my daddy never loved me the way that he was supposed to. You know, in the home, the daddy is a picture of Christ. Well, I didn't deal with that, but they did. You see, the stress of degradation from parents that talk down to their kids rather than encourage them, to teachers that look at them and say, you're just stupid. The worst bullying that my son has ever received in school, ever, was from a teacher. And he will remember it the rest of his life. I'm not going to elaborate on it because you might know him. But we had to counsel with him a lot. What about your peers? You know that bullying in school is terrible. It's terrible. But what about from the pulpit? My heart's desire and prayer is that I will be able to help you. Be able to see people saved, to be able to help you get to where God can help you. You see, when you go through all these things, sometimes what happens is you see people get down and they ask the question, why can't somebody see something good in me? And we've dealt with them, Brother Tom, but to say this, I guess I'm really just no good. But let me give you some encouragement. Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, we all deal with disappointment. Jesus did. I'm going to be done in just a minute. It's not late. Brother Jeff's going to come sing. But the Bible says that before Jesus was crucified, he went into the garden. And when he went into the garden to pray, he had three of his disciples go with him. I believe it was Peter, James, and John. And they were there with him, and he asked them to watch and to pray with him. And when he came back, he found them asleep. And he went back and he prayed, and the Bible says he prayed until it was that his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. Now, there is actually a medical condition for this called hematidrosis. And I want to tell you why I'm telling you this. Here's what it is. It's when the capillary network surrounding the sweat glands become distended and rupture under conditions of extreme stress. allowing blood to enter the sweat glands and flow through the sweat glands onto the body. But what does it come from? It comes from stress. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He traded places with us. Jesus knew that he was about to go to the cross and all the sin of the entire world was going to be placed upon him. And he came and took upon himself the likeness of sinful man. Remember, he was God in the flesh so that he could suffer and stand before God. And the Bible says, we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He had to take all the brunt of mine and your sin and mine and your pain. So every time we feel discouragement, he felt it. Every time we feel pain, he felt it. Every time you're hurt, he felt it. And he felt it in the garden. And when he came back, they were asleep. See, what is discouragement? It's confidence lost. It is contagious, but it is conquerable. You got to admit it before God, realizing that he's not left. That he suffered for you and me so that we can have help. And folks, I need help. There are times, sometimes the burdens of life, the stress of life is so heavy on me, I tell my wife, I don't know if I can do this. I can't do it. I tell her I can't do it. And you know what, folks? I can't. That's why I have to cry out to God.
Amen.
What about you? Where are you this morning? Do you need some encouragement from God? I want you to be encouraged. And here's what I want you to understand. We're going to let it, Brother Jeff sing. You can do it.
Yes. Amen.
God loves you.
Yes.
God has a plan for your life.
Yes.
You're important to him.
Yes.
You're not a waste of time. You're not a mistake. And just because you've had a failure in your life, a failure is not an event. It's not who you are. And if you want something from God, God loves you enough, just like you are, that if you were the only one, he would have still come. If you would, please rise to your feet. If God spoke to your heart and you'd like to come, God loves you, this church loves you, people will pray with you, or you can just pray to the Lord yourself. If Brother Jeff comes and God spoke to you, would you please come?